love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Yes, we love you, Jesus. 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 Yes, we love you, Jesus. For hallelujah.
Church and just praise his name and leave all the cares of the world at the door. God bless you. It's good to be here. Let's stand, please. This is 137 in your hymn book if you don't know it. You glad there's power in the blood tonight? Amen.
Oh, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power.
Turn and shake hands with your neighbor.
Oh, let's sing it again. There's still power, power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I know there's power, power. There's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen and amen. God bless you richly. Aren't you thankful there's still power? Amen. As we sing, sometimes the blood hasn't lost its power, but there's still power in the name of Jesus Christ. So, amen. God bless you richly. And appreciate Brother Jaffa filling in for us on the piano. Sister Stephanie and Brother Joshua both had to be out tonight, so appreciate him stepping in for us. And also Sister Brenda on the organ. It's good to have. We're blessed with a lot of musicians around here, so we're blessed. It's wonderful. But wanted to announce again, Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll start our Labor Day meetings. Brother Jason Watkins will be with us, and we'll be having a youth Bible study at 7:30 here in the basement for the youth ages 10 to 30 that have never been married. And then Friday evening at 7:30, we'll be having a youth service here at the church. Everyone's welcome to attend that, but it'll be focused towards the youth. And then Brother Jason will be preaching for us Sunday morning and Sunday evening as well. So come expecting and just looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us for these services. And got a couple of testimonies I want to share. We had prayed for my Aunt Mary Lou last week, and the doctors ran tests and couldn't find anything wrong that would cause the pain that she had been in, but she's completely better and not in any pain now. So praise the Lord for that. And then also the grandmother of Sammy, the little boy that Sherry Virgin had requested prayer, Sister Sherry, for prayer for about a year ago. He couldn't walk. And the grandmother called Sister Sherry this week to let her know that he's walking everywhere perfectly now. So I want to praise the Lord for that. And then we've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. Brother Josh Weber, he's not feeling well and is traveling to Arizona for a funeral tomorrow. And then I think Sister Sherry Virgin is not feeling well tonight as well. And then Sister Joy Duvall, she had a outpatient procedure done today, so I want to remember her in prayer for a quick recovery. And Sister Jennifer Soderquist's great aunt, Pat Biddle, was diagnosed with early stage breast cancer. She's in her 80s, and the surgery is scheduled for Friday, so we want to remember her in prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Good to see Brother Chris and his family with us tonight. Brother Chris, would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Father, we just love you, Lord. Father, we just join our licks of fire tonight, Lord, and just come to your throne boldly. As your word says, Father, we just put these prayer requests before you, Lord. God, you know what's on the hearts of your bride tonight, Lord. God, we just lay it before you tonight and ask you to come down. And Father, just the ones that are sick, Father, we know by your stripes they're already healed, Lord. We just claim it tonight. We've already got the victory if we just believe, Father. And just, as your prophet says, we would just take the doubt out, Father. Father, help us to rise up and just step out by faith tonight. Father, we just ask all the other requests. You know all of them, the ones that are unspoken. We just lay them before you tonight. Father, we give you this service, Lord. We ask you would just show up in a mighty way, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Fill our cups up once more, Lord. Give us another refilling, Lord. We just come to your fountain tonight. We want to hear from you, Lord. God, we just ask you Brother Nathan would be used, Father God, and you would just speak through him tonight, Lord. We just want to be re-energized in you. We love you, Father, and we give you this service, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Anna Tyler, Rachel Tyler, and Sister Emma Branham.
Grace that bought my how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Thank you for that. Well done. You thankful your chains are gone and you've been set free tonight? Amen. That was wonderful. God bless you. If the brothers would please come at this time.
He's everything. Oh, he's everything. Thank you. And yes, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Oh, yes, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood.
Sing this as Brother Nathan prepares to come. Just put away the cares of the world. Just take a minute to praise the Lord. That's what we can always do, even when we're not at church, but we should take some extra time and just praise Him.
Oh, I'll praise the Lord.
Praise Him. Amen. God bless you richly. Turn with me, if you would, into St. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. St. Matthew, chapter 16. I want to begin at verse 13 tonight. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, we thank you for the reading of the word. We know, Lord, that your word is anointed. But Lord, now we just ask that you would come and anoint us, just human, earthly vessels of clay, Father. But Lord, we recognize that when that clay is filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can come and move amongst individuals, not just on the platform, but Lord, out of the audience as well, in the congregation, to worship you, to praise you, Lord, to receive from your word. And Lord, that's what we come together tonight to do, Lord. We want to magnify your name, and we want to lift you up on high, Lord. And Lord, we want to place you, Lord, at the top of our priorities, Lord, above family, above work, above school, above whatever it would be, Lord. Help us to have our priorities straight, that you should come first in everything, Lord. And Lord, may we receive from you tonight what you would have for us. May it help us to be better Christians when we go out of here than when we came in, to understand a little bit more about you than we did. Lord, not that it would puff us up and make us think that we're better than somebody else, but Lord, it should humble us to know that you would think that much of us, to come and unfold yourself to us in this age, to unveil yourself, Lord, through the restoring of the word. And Lord, we thank you that we can look and see that the book is open, and Lord, that we can look into these things that men have questioned and wondered about for years, but because a prophet came in this age, we can look plainly now and see so many of these things that were hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, Lord. But Lord, may it just give us humble hearts that you would think of us, to choose us to even see it, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Jesus and the disciples being here in the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked them this notable question, and they begin to explain to him what everybody else thought of who he was and what his ministry was and where he was placed in the scriptures. But he asked them a little plainer. He said, but who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so Peter gives him this famous answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus doesn't say, my, you must have really sat under a really educated teacher. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed it unto you. So we appreciate good teachers, and we appreciate the word, and we appreciate sitting under those things. But unless the Holy Spirit comes and reveals something to you, unless the Holy Spirit quickens it to our heart, then it's just head knowledge. And a lot of times head knowledge just produces a lot of confusion and a stuffed shirt and look at how great I am and look how much I know. But we want it to be more than that. We want it to be more than just a memorization of a scripture or a memorization of a quote, although we appreciate those things. But if we've just got it memorized, then the devil has it memorized a lot better than any of us could ever memorize it. But when it begins to come and quicken and be a personal revelation to you that it's your property, Brother Bam said, if a man would heir him a great piece of land, he said, I wouldn't want to just let it sit out there, but I'd want to go walk around the property and see what had been given me. So that's what it is when we begin to look into the word. He teaches us that footsteps means possessions, and that we should look around and see what these promises are, because it wasn't just for somebody else in some other day, but it's for us today. Amen, the promises of God. So when we get a revelation of the word, it does that. It quickens it to us, something that flesh and blood can't give. Brother Jimmy can't come and say, oh, Brother Nathan, do you see this? And give it to me. Now, he might be able to explain it to me, and then the Holy Spirit could come and quicken it. But you can't give somebody revelation. You can give somebody education. You can give somebody knowledge. But you can't give anybody revelation. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So Jesus then saying, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The Catholic Church thought he was talking about Peter. Many different ones thought he was just talking about himself. But a prophet comes in this day and breaks down this scripture for us, and we begin to see that he's talking about the revelation of who he was is what he would build the church upon. He would build it upon revelation. And because it was built on revelation, the gates of hell wouldn't even be able to prevail against it. The gates of hell can prevail against intellectual knowledge, but it can't prevail against revelation. And the Queen of Sheba in 1961, Brother Branham quotes this scripture. He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church. I don't care how many persecutions, how many lines they draw and cut you out. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it." He said, that's right. Shows all the gates of hell would be against it, but could not prevail. I've had a lot of brothers come to me lately and say, "Brother Nathan, what's going on? Seems like there's so much pressure and so much just constantly attacks on the message, or attacks on individuals, or attacks on our church, or just pressures here, pressures at work, pressures at school, pressures at church, pressures in the message, pressures around the world, pressures politically, economically, financially, physically, all these things. What is it? The gates of hell is trying to destroy the work of God, but it'll never be able to do it. All it'll do is just sift out the real from the false." Oh my, he goes on, he says, "I'll build my church." The Holy Spirit moving, working, the resurrected Christ moving. Who can stop it? Try it. You never be able to do it. It's going right on and on and on. Rise all the critics you want to. It'll only strengthen the church every time you do it, going to move on. He said, rise all the critics that you want. We can say it today in this way. Build all the websites that you want and make fun of it. Call all the people that you want and try to pull them away. Do whatever you want. Make fun of it. Criticize it. Ridicule it. Try to prove it wrong. The real true church of God, it'll just make her that much more stronger and that much more determined and that much more eager to serve God than they ever was. Brother Benham said when he went down through there and he had been riding on horseback and he got into a little area, you know, you've heard him tell it many times. He said there was an old burn over where a forest fire had come through and burned off a lot of old trees. And he said now they were just hollowed up, just snags of what they used to be. And he said the wind would begin to blow through there and it would sound just mournful and eerie and spooky. And it would begin to moan and groan. And he thought, "Lord, why would you bring me to this place? What are you trying to show me?" But he began to notice that the same wind that was making the old dried up branches moan and groan and say the days of miracles are past and that's for some other age, that same wind, when it would move on a little bit of the undergrowth that was trying to come up, fresh growth there, little twigs and limbs and little starts of trees, he said it would blow them back and forth and they'd just rejoice together. Not a lot of moaning and groaning, but he'd wave them back and it'd shake them back and forth. He thought, "Lord, what are you trying to show me there?" And he found that when the winds begin to blow, that it would shake them back and forth and they just anchor down and get a little bit better of a hold in their roots. So sometimes when pressures come and the winds begin to blow, we begin to think, "Lord, what have I done wrong? Why would you allow this to come?" Sometimes pressures and trials and tribulations are the best sign that you're right where you're supposed to be and you're doing what you're supposed to be for the Lord, and Satan is just trying to destroy you and he's trying to upset you and he's trying to get you to give up and quit. But the real true believer, they just anchor down that much tighter. Said, "Oh, you can huff and you can puff, but you won't blow me down, Satan." Questions and Answers, 1954. He said, "Don't pay no attention to what the world's got to say. Look at what God's got to say." He said, "This is the word of God. We have to build it according to this blueprint," because he said it to Peter, "Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Everything else will take place. It showed the gates of hell would be against it, but it'll not prevail. And the people thinking they can stop it, you could stop the sun quicker. That's right. And sometimes we don't feel like that. Sometimes when we get out of bed in the morning, we don't feel like that old Satan could stop the sun quicker than he could stop the bride of Jesus Christ. But that's what the prophet of God said. You can't stop this move of God. It's going to go on. Doesn't matter how many demons, how many imps, how many false teachers or those that fall away and ridicule. Doesn't matter how much rises up, how much fanaticism rises around the message. Doesn't matter how many critics rise up and make fun of the message. You can sooner stop the sun than you can stop the bride of Jesus Christ from going on and getting closer to her mates. He said, "You can't stop it. God has ordained it to move on." Here, when I first got converted, even my poor mother back there thought I'd gone crazy. Now he's at a spot he can talk about this. And here his mother, by the grace of God, she's come in. She's been baptized under his ministry. And she begins to see what God is doing. But it didn't start out that way. Amen. See, a lot of times we think, well, bless God, so-and-so, they don't see it like me, so we'll just write them off. What if he did that with his own mother? When she thought he was crazy when he first started out, if he'd have just said, well, she just must be an old serpent seed. She don't see this like I see it. Well, he hadn't seen it like that till a few months before either. But the grace of God. It must have been difficult. He said in one place there, he said his mommy and his daddy came to him and said, if you're going to have this kind of religion, you've got to leave our home. Kicked him out of their house. His own mommy and daddy. And he got him a little knapsack and put it over his shoulder with all his earthly belongings. And he walks out on his own, not knowing what he's going to do or where he's going to go, but knowing what he's received and who he received it by. He couldn't turn back on it if it was mommy, if it was daddy, if it was aunt, if it was uncle, if it was a spouse, if it was a daughter or a son or a loved one, a grandpa, a grandma, whatever it be. It's just more than just a family deal that we're just trying to make our family happy, or we're just trying to make our Facebook friends happy, or we're just trying to make our associates happy. The apostles stopped one time. They'd beat them up and put them in jail and tell them, stop preaching that Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then they'd release them, and they just turn around and say, hey, is it better for us to please God or to please men? See, they weren't people pleasers. A lot of times today we try to please everybody. Oh, I want to make my parents happy, and I want to make my grandparents happy, and I want to make my cousins happy, and my aunt and uncle happy, and I want to make my colleagues at work happy, and my friends at school happy. And you know what that makes? That makes a compromiser that's just wishy-washy, and whoever you get around, you just become a chameleon that you just blend in, and whatever they say, you just nod your head and go along with it when you're at that group, and then when you're over with this group. But the Bible said, don't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Anchor down tonight and find where you're really standing in the Word, and then stand for it. If your closest friend walks off and leaves you, he won't leave you. If mommy and daddy walks off and leaves you, he won't leave you. Amen. And in fact, if they're really anything true to him, they'll respect you more for standing for what you believe. And maybe God will bring them around and show them the same thing by your testimony. But nobody's going to have a testimony just floating along cowardly this way and that way. And well, I'm with this group, so I'll just nod my head and say, oh, that's wonderful, bro. Oh, yes, that's a great revelation, brother. And then get around with another group that doesn't believe that way. And oh yeah, I see it that way too, brother. Those guys over there are crazy. And then you get back over with them. Yeah. Wishy-washy. We don't need wishbones, we need backbones. Somebody that can stand. An old Pentecostal preacher that mom and dad used to follow before they was introduced to the message used to say, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. So we want to stand not for our opinions, not for our pride, not to be stubborn, but we want to stand for the Word of God with everything that's within us. He said, here when I first got converted, even my poor mother back there thought I'd gone crazy. My mother-in-law said he ought to be sent up to the insane institution. You got family troubles tonight? This is what the prophet of God went through to bring us this message. You say, oh, but Brother Nathan, there's some people in my family, they think I'm crazy for going to church with the open door. There's some people in my family, they think I'm insane. They think I'm in a cult because I'm following this message. Hey, his family thought the same thing about him, but he kept standing right with it. My mother-in-law said he ought to be sent up to the insane institution. The preachers in the city said he'll burn down pretty soon. He said, I've been burning a long time. It's sure still burning better all the time. Why? It can't burn down. It's God. Instead of burning down, it's spread around the world now. What would he say today when it was a few tape recorders over in Africa and India and things like that? What would he say today when it swept around the world? Hundreds of thousands of people hearing it. What would he say today? It didn't burn down. It's got stronger and stronger. Why? Because the gates of hell can't prevail against it. What think ye of Christ, 1954? And then you can come to a church where they're trying to preach the gospel and demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost. They call us holy rollers. And write them up and all kinds of things that they can say about him shows the devil on the rampage, but God's church will never fail. She'll move from victory until Jesus comes for his bride. Notice he didn't promise us, hey, if you just come and you sit in a certain church or you believe a certain doctrine, it's just going to be smooth sailing for you. He said, hey, folks, the devil is on a rampage. He said, you can look around and it proves the devil is on a rampage. But yet the true church of God, she's not going to get knocked down and stay down, but she's going to go from victory unto victory unto victory until Jesus Christ comes to take her away. Oh, it ought to give us courage tonight to know. Oh, you might, maybe you feel like you're down in the lowest valley you've ever been in, and Satan has kicked you down, and your family has made fun of you, and your friends have walked off and left you, and your real friends that you thought, oh my, we've been buddies for our whole life, and don't matter whatever happens, they'll understand, and they'll be with me, and then they turn and walk away from you and make fun of you. And maybe you think, goodness gracious, where do I go from here? From victory unto victory unto victory until Jesus Christ comes. May not always be the way we've got it figured out. Amen. But I believe this. When he tells us this, I believe that just as much as when he told us about the seals or the church ages or whatever it was. If he said we're going on to victory and to victory, I'll take his word for it. Amen. Church age book, page 16. He says, with true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Now, I know we're not unidentified tonight. We're trying to get back into spiritual abuse here, if I can ever get into it right. But we can identify ourselves here with the scripture. When he says us and he says we and he says all these things, you read your name in there. You read your name in there. Make it personal to you. I'll give you the example, and then you don't just leave my name in there. You read your name. With true revelation in his life, the gates of hell cannot prevail against Nathan Bryant, but he will prevail over them. You say that, oh my, that's pretty bold, Brother Nathan, that you would identify yourself with that. No, don't let it stop at me. Read your name in there too. Amen. If you don't believe that, then you're just a puppet for the devil to kick around. He's going to prevail against you one of these days. But the true bride of Jesus Christ, Jesus said all might be so close in the last days that it would deceive the very elect if possible. But a prophet of God came and pointed it out to us and said, he said, if it were possible, but he said, it's not possible. Oh my, are you afraid of being deceived, Brother Nathan? No, I'm elect. I'm not afraid of being deceived. That don't mean I'll never make a mistake. That don't mean I'll never get confused, but I won't be deceived because the prophet of God and Jesus Christ himself both told me I can't be. It's impossible. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. This charge, let's just pause here a moment. Paul here recognizing, as he said, you know, him and John both talking to their people there at the churches that they pastored and the groups that they went to and ministered to, they begin to tell the people, hey, when we're gone, grievous wolves are going to slip in, and they're going to try to do this, and they're going to try to do that. So St. Paul recognizes that even back here in this first church age, that there's going to be spiritual abuse that's going to try to come and try to upset the church and confuse the church and try to deceive the church if it can. And so he comes in and he begins to exhort Timothy to stand for the things that he's been taught and not be swayed by all this other stuff that goes on around. Now, we're just going to do a little Cliff's Notes of just a few of the highlights of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy tonight. Just read a few of these things along with that. But if you haven't got anywhere specific you're reading in your Bible right now, you might want to pick up there in 1 and 2 Timothy. Brother Bam said one of those chapters there in present stage of my ministry. I think it's 2 Timothy 4. He said, if you go back and read that tonight when you get home, he said, you'll find out exactly where we're at. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He didn't say, bring your picnic blanket. If you just follow this, you're never going to have to worry. He said, Timothy, I'm going to encourage you. War a good warfare. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be an uphill thing. You're going to be fighting. Brother Bam said, if God ever gave you something, he said, you have to fight every inch of the way to get it. Amen. But it's yours if you can just do it. If you can just keep pressing on. Say, oh, well, but Satan said this, and you know, Brother so-and-so said that, and Sister so-and-so said I'd never make it. Keep fighting every inch of the way. Don't pay any attention to what anybody else said. You pay attention to what God said, what his word said. And you keep going. You fight a good warfare. Amen. If we're going to be in a battle, let's fight a good battle. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. vain jangling, just a bunch of nothingness, a bunch of loose words and vain words, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. In other words, they don't know what they're talking about, and they don't have any way of backing up what they're talking about. They don't have a way to affirm it. They don't have an absolute to take it back to. They just get up and give their opinion. Well, Brother Arnie, I think you should do this, and Brother Japheth, I think you should do this, and Brother Trevor, I don't think you should do that anymore, and just a bunch of vain jangling without any scriptural foundation to back it up to. Oh, my goodness, we'll get in trouble tonight, won't we? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now he didn't water it down and say, well, we just don't see eye to eye, and you know, they're teaching this, and yeah, it's contrary to the word that was given at the original foundation, but they're good people. And he said they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He didn't pet around about where it came from. He said those doctrines came from the pits of hell. They're anointed by demon spirits. If it's contrary to the word that was brought to you, he said, if any man come, I don't care what he is or where he is or how big he is or how smart he is or how fast he can quote, if he comes and tells you something contrary to what's already been given, he said, let him be accursed. He said, again, I say, even if an angel from heaven comes and says anything that's contrary to the word that you've received, he said, let him be accursed. Now, Brother Branham comes around in our age, and he said, if that angel, the angel that had followed him all his life, the angel that had revealed to him the hearts, the secrets of men's and women's hearts, the angel that had never told him anything that was contrary, he said, if he ever told me anything that was contrary to the scripture, I wouldn't believe it. But many times we just swallow things down. Well, it's a good brother. And well, you know, this brother over here, he's sure anointed. And this one over here, oh my, he's a deep teacher. He gets so deep. Yeah, sometimes they get plumb deep out from underneath the Bible and down into the pits of hell. Really deep. I don't want to go that deep, Brother David. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Again, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now he's told us, he said, you know, fight a good warfare. Go out there and you fight the battle. You stand for the truth. You get the sword of the word and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, all that. You go out there and you fight a good battle. But now he tells us also, it's not just going to be an offensive thing, but you're going to have to play a little defense every once in a while. There's going to be some attacks that come against you, and you're going to have to endure hardness. Amen. As a Christian, as a message believer, in this age, we've got to endure some hardness. We got to get our, you know, if we get our thin, skin so thin that somebody says something about us and we just, oh Lord, I'm just a martyr in this age. Did you hear what so-and-so said about me? I just can't follow you anymore, Lord. I'm going to give up and quit. That's not enduring hardness. Sometimes we get, you know, so upset about little things that come and go, and we look at the martyrs when they drag them out there by the hair of their head and strap them up to a stake and light them on fire and send out lions to eat them, eat their bodies and things. And they say, look, all you got to do is just compromise with the word a little bit. Look, you can even still say that you're a Christian. Just say that you believe the Holy Roman Catholic Church and that you believe in the communion of saints and that you do all these things. And they said, lighter, go ahead and light it. And they'd memorize Psalms, Brother Jimmy. And they'd sing those Psalms while they was burning to death. Can you imagine? Somebody come up with a big lantern and throw her in there and the hay and stuff and wood surrounding the fire. And the flames begin to come up and they say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie by green pastures. And those people thought, goodness gracious. What is this type of people? We've talked bad about them. We've beat them. We've put them in jail. Now we're burning them to death. And many of them died praying for the ones that turned them in or the ones that lit the flames on fire or released the lions on them. Oh, my. But somebody say something against us. We're ready to start World War III with them. How will our lives match up with the martyrs? Endure hardness. Didn't say, you know, just give up and quit unless the pastor comes and babies you and texts you along and quotes you along and prompts you along and pats you along. Said endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings. Sounds like he knew some message believers, didn't he? Of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, wait a minute, Brother Nathan. Last Wednesday night, you came and told us to fellowship with everybody, and now you're coming and telling us to withdraw yourself. Now, which is it? Brother Bram said, as long as you're trying to win a brother, he said, fellowship with everybody. But we recognize there comes a time when we realize that person is going to do me more damage than I'm going to do them good. And if I keep getting in that atmosphere, I'm going to want to roll up my sleeves and fight them every time I see them in Lowe's or Walmart or whatever. And sometimes, he said, you remember Brother Branham said this. This isn't Brother Nathan. Brother Branham said, he said, sometimes there's just some people that you'd just rather not see coming. He said, some people you just love to see them, and there's just an atmosphere about them that you just love to see them. He said, there's other people sometimes you just, maybe good people, maybe good godly people, but he said, sometimes you'd rather just not see them coming. What is it? It's the atmosphere that they create. And if you're not careful, you get around that negative atmosphere. Now, I'm not saying don't call them brother or you know, don't shun them or things like that. I'm not saying that. But if you keep constantly in that atmosphere, then that atmosphere, if you're not careful, is just going to drag you right down with it. And if every time you get around them, all they can do is talk bad about everybody they know, every minister they know they run down, every deacon they know they run down, every believer they know you talk about them, they never have anything good to say about anybody, but always negative and controversy and sowing discord. Paul said, from such withdraw thyself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Sounds like he's been reading some Facebook and Twitter posts, hasn't he? Lovers of themselves. Everything's focused on themselves. Look what I did. Look how great I am. Look at me. Look at this. Look at that. Covetous. Oh my, look what Brother So-and-so did. I didn't get to go there on vacation, Brother Trevor. Did you? How come God blessed him to go on vacation? Did you see the car he got, Brother Japheth? Oh, my. How come God didn't bless me with a car like that, Brother Jimmy? Covetous. Boasters. Oh, goodness. Nobody knows the message like I do. Nobody lives it like I do. Nobody's as successful in business as I do. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. We can stop there and preach a series tonight for the young people. Unthankful. That's still, you know, a lot of times it rubs off on the adults, but the young people as well. You know, Brother Bram said, when everything's given to you, you don't appreciate it. He said, when Brother Billy Paul was a little boy, he said they'd go out and sacrifice to buy him a little tricycle and things. He said they'd find him out in the backyard with the spoon digging. He said, the next ones won't be like that. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers. False accusers. Oh my, did you hear that about Brother So-and-so? Oh goodness. Well, have you confirmed it? No, but Sister So-and-so said it, and I know she's got a pretty good record of knowing what's going on, so I guess it's right. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Goodness gracious. Not only is it enough for them to do all these things, but then when somebody actually comes along and does something that's right and does something that's according to the word and does something that's righteous, they despise those that are good. You know, I find that the closer I get to God, the more despised I get. You'd think it'd be the other way, Brother Chris. You'd think that, you know, if you got further out in sin, you was backslid and smoking and drinking, all those things, that people would just despise you. But usually that's when they say, oh, our poor brother, you know, he's having a rough time right now. You know, they have a little grace for you when you stumble sometimes. Some people do. But then the closer you get to God and the stronger of a stand you take and the more you stand for what's right, people become despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now we can stop and preach a whole series on that for all of us. If we're not careful, we get so caught up. Brother Trevor preached on it. What is your joy? I went back and listened to it when I got back in town. I thought of a few things too that bring me joy, but then he really showed us what real joy really is. Amen. Real joy, there is no joy without Jesus. Amen. I thank God for financial blessings. But without Jesus, your money's just going to perish. I thank God for good health. But without Jesus, that body's just going to be a stagnated heap of ash one day. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Oh, we love to go do this. We love to go do that. We love to go be in this activity and that activity and go over here and fellowship with this group and that group. And we love to go do our hobbies and do that. But then when we get home, we're so tired. Family devotions, you know, we've spent 3 hours on the lake or 3 hours with the fishing pole or 3 hours with the basketball or 3 hours with whatever it is, the hunting rifle or whatever. But then when it comes time for family devotions, a little 5 minute now, lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We love to do this and we love to do that, but when it comes time for church, well, you know, we're going to be a little late tonight. Let's just, we'll just rest in and we'll do this and we'll do that. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is the spirit of the age that he's talking to us about. Brother Branham attributes this to and Paul says, in the last day, perilous times will come. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They love a form of godliness. Come and say, I'm a Christian. I go to a Christian church. I go to the biggest church in New Albany. I go to the biggest church in Louisville. I go to the biggest church in Lexington. I go to all these, you know, mega churches and mega this and mega that. And they can sit back with their coffee and listen to some watered down something. And oh my, they just think it's wonderful. Having a form of godliness. But when it comes to the actual power of what God can do, they deny that. Oh, that was for some other age. And it's easy for us to say that about the denominations, but what about when it creeps right down into the message? You know, I believe God sent a prophet, I believe the message, but, you know, going to church, I don't really feel like that's necessary. You know, what does the building have to do with it, anything with it? Well, the prophet of God seemed to think it had a lot to do with it. He said, you cannot, thirsting for life, he said, you cannot live as good of a Christian life outside of church as you can in. Oh, you say, but he said, well, but we are the church. Oh, I guess he's just talking about an out-of-body experience then. You can't live as good of a Christian if you have an out-of-body experience as you do if you just stay in your body. Oh, my. But people come up with all kinds of excuses and all kinds of things. Why? Because they want to have a form of godliness. They want to fall under a title of Christianity or a title of the message or a title of this or a title of that. But when it comes to actually doing what the Word said, they deny the power of it. He said, for this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This to me is one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. To be learning, to know about the truth, to hear about the truth, and to be learning, to spend hours and days and weeks and months and years. I had a man tell me in Finland, said, bless God, I've been reading the message for 30 years. I said, so have I. My mom taught me to read when I was 5. I've been reading it for 31 years, I could have told him. But his interpretation of it was as false could come. Doesn't matter how much you read, and it's good to read, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't give you a revelation of it, you're just ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Anybody that can read can pick up the Bible, and they interpret it all kinds of different ways. But we had a prophet in this age come and show us what it really said. And there's people out here, some people out in the denominations and things would put us to shame with the amount that they read their Bible every day. And many of them just reading it so they can have a conversation piece at supper with somebody, and they can impress them with how well that they can recite scripture or whatever. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. What a sad thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, usually when we're going to advertise something and we're going to promote something, we put all the best things about it. We put, oh my, come and see this, the greatest that. It's not like nothing you've ever experienced. It's, you know, fastest drive through your line, the most stocked aisles, whatever it would be, the newest this, the newest that. But Paul, he doesn't try to give some false advertisement. He's very honest with Timothy. And he says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're trying to win somebody over and you say, look, Brother Trevor, if you come and you follow this, I guarantee you, you're going to be persecuted. That just makes you want to sign right up for it, don't it? So, I promise you, if you attend our church, you will be persecuted. Oh, where do I sign? I promise you, if you follow this message, you will get persecuted and made fun of and laughed at and ridiculed. I promise you, if you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, not just your Savior, but your Lord and Savior. There's a lot of people that call Him Savior, but they can't make Him Lord of what they do. And if you make Him Lord, you will receive persecution. But oh my, the benefits are so much greater than the persecution. All that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, I don't believe Paul's just speaking of himself here, because if he just taught Timothy, then somebody else would convince Timothy away from it. But as Jesus said to Peter, you didn't learn this. This wasn't given to you by flesh and blood, but my Father which is in heaven. Paul knew that he couldn't force a revelation into Timothy's heart. So he says, be assured of those things which you've learned and of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I thought we were just supposed to teach on the scriptures that Brother Bram taught on. If he didn't teach them, we were just supposed to leave them alone and not go there. Quiet in here tonight, ain't it? Paul said all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What are you trying to say, Brother Nathan? I'm trying to say I take all of it. Amen. I believe all of it. Genesis to Revelations, I believe it's all inspired. Amen. I believe it's all infallible. I'll take it further than that. I believe it all from 47 to 65. I believe that's inspired too. Amen. I don't need somebody to come and tell me, well, he was under the anointing over here, but over here he wasn't. And then if you do that, you realize that somebody else will come along and disagree with that person. They'll say, no, he was over the anointing over here. It was over here that he was under the anointing, because then we'll pick our favorite quotes and the ones that go along with the lifestyle we want to live. But the ones that are contrary to that, we'll say, well, he just wasn't under the anointing over there. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Didn't say it'd be peaches and ice cream. Didn't say that it'd be just a flowery bed of ease. Said the enemy's going to come in like a flood. But when he does, God's going to raise up a standard against him. Oh, what a comfort it is to know that no matter how much the enemy attacks, no matter how much he huffs and puffs and how much the billows blow and how high the waves get, God, at the same time that Satan is raising up his attack, God is raising up his standard. The fifth seal in 1963, Brother Branham begins to talk to us about how when those four horse riders went forth, he said it wasn't physical horses, but those horses represented powers. Even if you really study it, he goes around and he said when those saints came with Christ, he came with the thousands times thousands saints riding with him on horses. He said it wasn't necessarily horses, it was powers that they were riding on. He said when these four horse riders went forth with this Antichrist spirit, he said these beasts were powers. And they were anointings that were going forth. But he said, you notice at the same time, God raises up four beasts to go out and combat them. The fifth seal, 1963. Notice, as the Antichrist went forth on his beast of ministry there, God sent forth a beast to combat it. See, now watch. The enemy, every time the beast rode on his horse, the Antichrist rode on his horse on his beast to announce his ministry, God sent his beast also in his own mask to announce his combat to it. Remember the four horse riders there, the black horse and the red horse and the pale horse and the white horse, all the horse riders. And at the same time, he raises up a lion and he raises up an ox and he raises up a man and he raises up an eagle to show those four anointings that would be on the bride down through the church ages. There would also be an Antichrist anointing that went forth riding on four beasts as well. But when the enemy would try to raise up his flood to come in, at the very same time, God is raising up his standard to prevent it. Oh my, God sent his beast also in his own mask to announce his combat to it. Now, he said, scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against it. And so, when the enemy went out as an antichrist, God sent a certain type of power out to meet him. Now, the devil is, it looks to us many times like, you know, that Satan, he begins to do something, and we think, oh, goodness. Oh my, what, how is God going to come on the scene, and how is God going to combat this? What is he going to do to raise up a standard against it? And it looks like Satan is always getting the first step, because Satan will come in with attack, and then God comes up and raises up a standard into defense against it. But really, it's Satan that's at the disadvantage, because God already knew before the foundation of the world the type of attack that Satan was going to bring for that age or that circumstance or your individual life. And God already had pre-planned and preordained the standard that he would raise against it. So he's already 5,000 million trillion moves ahead of the devil. And we look at it and we see it unfold and play out day by day, but he's already seen the end. He's already seen the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He knows what happened to you today. And maybe you think, oh my, I can't wait to get to church and talk to Brother Nathan about some of the things that I'm facing. And I don't know what it is, but he knows. And he already knew before it happened. Maybe you got a close friend that maybe they've gone through a similar battle. And you think, oh my, I can't wait to share with them, because they'll know. They'll be able to understand what I'm going through. And they'll be able to sympathize with me. And they'll be able to encourage me. But we serve a God that he already knew about it. You don't even, we believe in going to him in prayer, but he already knows about it before you even call on his name. He already knew, and he was already, you know, before David went out there and picked up 5 smooth stones, God already knew which stone, not only the 5 he was going to pick, but which one was going to sink into the head of the giant, how many centimeters it would sink, where it would hit him, at what speed it would hit him, what time and moment in time that David would release the stone. Oh, God knew all about it, but David's just acting it out as he goes along. But God's looking at it like, you know, some of you all know, like, you know, we'll just be admit that we, you know, we're carnal, and we like little things every once in a while. You know, Brother Bram said he watched different things, 10 Commandments and Ben-Hur, and he talked about there how he said that man was going to go out there and be a Marshall Dillon off of Gunsmoke, and he said he shot himself in the leg. He said now he's a Chester. So he knew a little bit something about it, apparently. And I know some of you like Andy Griffith and some of those old shows, and some of them you've watched over and over and over so many times that if we would sit down and watch it with you before Andy or Barney or any of them could get the word out of their mouth, you'd be quoting it to us, telling us along beforehand, you know, what they're going to say. And we think, they've seen this a few times before. But God already saw all of eternity that way. He saw all of time and space and eternity, and he looked down through it, and before you even speak, God's sitting up with there, and the angel, he said, watch this. Watch this. The angel said, I don't know what's going to go on, because they don't know the end from the beginning. He looks over at Gabriel, he said, watch this, watch this. This is a good part right here. Look what Brother Jimmy's going to do. Oh my, they gave him a hard way at his job today, but you watch how he's going to respond. He's going to slip over there, and he's going to slip into a closet, and he's going to get down on his knees and pray, God, forgive him anyhow. He said, oh, watch this. This is one of my favorite parts in the Jimmy reel. Or the Furman reel, or the Lee reel, or the Japheth reel, or the Isaac reel. This is one of my highlights. I like to play this part over and over and over. Oh my. He already knows. He's already raising up a standard against it. The things that you'll go through tomorrow, he already knows about it. Church Age Book, page 86, he said, it is the word and the name that brings the enemy pouring after us like a flood. Oh my, you want to get the enemy after you? Just start talking about the word and about the name of Jesus and trying to brag on him and raise him up before the people and give him glory instead of some personality or instead of yourself or instead of your own opinions or your own idea, and just watch the devil come in and try to attack like a flood. He said that mighty word which was manifested in healings, signs, wonders, and other demonstrations caused the Pharisees to scream out for the death of the true believers. Here they were. We looked at it for months on finding a Pharisee, how to find a Pharisee. And the Pharisees, they would look into the same word, the same law of Moses that Jesus was standing there quoting, and they could quote it right along with him. They knew it. They had memorized it. They had looked at it, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There the truth stood right in front of them, and they couldn't receive it, and they hated it and crucified it. Power of Transformation, 1965. Now, I want you to think about this tonight. Brother Branham's standing in Prescott, Arizona, in the trailer park. I don't know what all God showed him what was going to happen or what God didn't show him that was going to happen. But I do know that he had to know something, because you go back and you listen to some of these things and you can pick up when you listen to it now the way that he says these things, you begin to get a little bit of a picture that he knew what was going on there, but he just couldn't say it for a reason. There was a time and a place. Brother Bam said on one tape there, he starts off the tape at a little breakfast there for the Christian businessman, and he said, you know, what if I knew who was going to be president? It was during the time of the election. He said, what if I knew who was going to be president? He said, what good would it do for me to share that? He said, it wouldn't do anything but just people pat me on the back and say, oh, Brother Branham, you sure are a good prophet, you know, and knowing all these things. He said, it wouldn't benefit anybody except just make me look like something. He says, so sometimes God shares things and you just can't share it with the people because it's not the time. Sometimes you just have to allow things to play out the way that God ordained it, because if you went and told everybody, he said, if I knew Brother so-and-so was going to be in a car wreck and I came and told him, he said he'd be scared to get in a car the rest of his life. So some things he had to just allow to take place, and other things God told him to go and tell what it was and share it with the people. So he gets here in Prescott and he's standing in the trailer park in 1965, and he says, now remember, don't forget this, Brother Leo and Gene especially. Now you think Satan is going to let this go on like this without a hindrance? Oh no, he sure won't. He's going to fly in one of these days just like a whirlwind. But he doesn't just leave them hanging there. He gives them some advice on what to do when Satan does come in and try to do this. He said, but when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against it. Just keep lifting yourself up in prayer before God. Cling to one another and hold to God. He doesn't give them the whole picture. He doesn't show them exactly what's going to take place, but he prepares them and arms them and equips them with some advice of what to do when Satan does come in and try to cause trouble. I know some of you sitting here tonight, some of your family members and things, sat through some of that and the persecutions and basically just went out on a personality cult and telling people what to do and when to get married and who to get married to and moving them around to this one and that one, all kinds of just cult type stuff that went on. But Brother Branham comes in and he tells them, When the enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to raise up a standard against it. You're going to be okay because God's going to be with you. And you just keep lifting yourself up in prayer and cling to one another and hold on to God. You know, I don't think that was just for a trailer park back in 1965. But don't you realize that Satan is going to come in and he's going to try to attack anywhere that the move of God is? Satan is not going to just sit back and put his hands behind his head and say, oh my, isn't that nice? But you remember when the supernatural began to take place, Brother Branham said there in the book of Acts, he begins to talk about it in Acts chapter 2. He said when the day of Pentecost came and they was all filled with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire rested down upon them and they went out speaking in tongues, and he said the devil didn't even get out of bed, didn't even try to cause a disturbance. He said, but a few days later, here comes Peter and James down to the gate called Beautiful, and there's a man sitting there that here he is lame in his feet from his mother's womb, and they begin to encourage him and talk to him, and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give we unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the man didn't just stand up, but he went running and leaping into the temple. And when the supernatural began to take place, Brother Branham said it this way. He said, all hell turned loose on him. The gates of hell began to... Why? Because the word and the manifestation of the supernatural was going forth, and Satan hates it. So he says, don't expect the devil just to let that go. He's going to come and he's going to try to do things. He's going to try to upset. He's going to try to destroy. But when he does, you just lift one another up in prayer and cling to one another and cling to God more than he ever was. Not run one another down and see who can be greater than this one. You know, that's what the disciples thought. Who's going to be greatest? Who's going to sit with you on your throne? Who's going to be this? Who's going to be that? He brought a little child and set it on his lap, and he said, he that can become like this little child will be the greatest in heaven. Spiritual adoption, 1956. He said, if he will reveal to you this morning by the revelation that this is the end of your suffering, this is the end of your sickness, all devils out of torment will never shake that foundation. Though every doctor say it's wrong, for upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. If you can accept by faith, I'm healed, not because I feel better, but because the word said so. Not because somebody, you know, did some emotional work up and shook me up and down and shoved me down an aisle. Not because of that, but because the Word said so. And you can accept that personally for you. He said, all devils out of torment will never shake that foundation. He said, though it would be against it, yet it cannot prevail. For when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against it every time. He says again in the end time, 1954. You always talk about how bad the world is, how wicked the world is. That's true. But look how great the church is getting all the time. We fail to look at that side. Jesus said, let them grow together. When the world's getting wickeder and wickeder and wickeder, the church is getting more powerful and powerful all the time. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. He said, hallelujah, let's go, glory. The winds are blowing. Set your sails. Hallelujah. Move. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. Hallelujah. Let's go. Glory. The winds are blowing. Set your sails. Hallelujah. Oh, my. The winds will blow. Things will come. Things will go. But he said, you just set your sails. The enemy's going to come in like a flood. He's going to try to attack. He's going to try to upset. But he said, when he does, he said, God will just raise up a standard against it. Amen. What do we have to fear? What do we have to worry? What do we have to fret when the Spirit of God is raising up a standard in this age? As the world is getting more wicked and more wicked, so also the church of Christ is raising up. Not the denomination, the actual church of Christ, the church of the living God. She's raising up. He's raising a standard against it every time. Oh my. The musicians would come tonight. Let's read this together. The end time, 1954. He said, I read that already at the end here. He says, move right on into the face of the storm. What do you care? Who's the captain? He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Maybe you're facing storms. Maybe you're facing tribulations. Maybe you're facing persecutions. Maybe the enemy is trying to come in like a flood on every hand that you can think of. Maybe he's attacking you at work, and he's attacking you with your family. He's attacking you at your school. He's attacking you with church people. He's attacking you with believers. He's attacking you with non-believers. And just everywhere you turn, you feel like you're just getting pelted with ammunition. But at the same time, God's raising up a standard. God's raising up a standard. God is going to equip a group of people in this age. Whatever comes or goes, he's going to equip them. Let me read this to you before we close tonight. Calling Jesus on the scene, 1963. He said, oh, if we tonight could only catch that vision. The very Jehovah that made the heavens and earth is right in this little vessel of ours while we're sailing life's solemn main. For the Holy Ghost is Jehovah in spirit form in you. The same one that was in the ship with the disciples. Oh, sure, the enemy raised up a flood to try to shake them. He raised winds and waves and tried to fill the boat and overturn the boat. But the very master of the wind was sleeping down in the boat with them. Don't forget who's sailing with you tonight. Amen. Don't forget who's riding in the boat with you tonight. No matter what comes, no matter what Satan throws against you. He said, all the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, the words that you laid on my heart and the quotes and the scriptures that we shared, oh, Lord, may it encourage hearts tonight. Maybe there's some that have been battered down by storms and by trials and by persecutions. Maybe every time they try to rise up, another wave comes over the side of the boat and it almost capsizes. Supernaturally, spiritually, Lord, they're just downtrodden. And every time they try to get up and move forward in God, something else comes up and tries to hinder them. Oh, may they recognize tonight. Lord, as I asked a sister some time ago, if the enemy's trying to fight so hard, what is he afraid of that God's got for you? If the enemy's trying to battle so hard, what is it that Satan is afraid that the bride of Jesus Christ is going to do? Oh, Lord, may we raise up with wings of an eagle. Lord, may we be refreshed tonight by the watering of the Word. Lord, may we recognize tonight, Lord, that you're in the boat with us. That you've been right there in the midst of the trial with us. That you've been there through every battle, through every persecution, through every turmoil, through every trial, Lord. You're raising up a standard against the enemy. At the same time, the world is getting darker and darker and, oh, just evil on every hand. Yet, the bride of Jesus Christ is getting closer and closer to her mate. Getting closer and closer to the Word. Becoming that living Word. Getting more powerful, stronger day by day. Not our strength, Lord, but Your strength. Lord, we need it tonight. We need Your strength. Lord, in this age, we need Your strength to go on. We need Your grace and Your strength for each step that we take, Lord. May You continue just to raise up a standard in our lives, Lord. Help us as parents, Lord, to raise up the standard in our homes. Lord, that those children that are being raised up in our home, Lord, that they would see things that would impact them, that would influence them to the kingdom of God. Lord, I think about how the prophet reminded us of how things that we place before our children, how it impresses them, Father. Lord, how that little family there, four or five children, all of them went into the Navy. They began to search it back, and they had a great picture of an ocean there in their bedroom where they were raised, and it impacted them so much, every one of them went to the sea. Lord, the prophet said if a picture of a wave and a storm in the ocean would impact them that much, how much more would a picture of Christ before them? Lord, how much more if things of the world will impact them negatively, if filthy movies and filthy advertisements and filthy things that would impact them to the negative that could be placed before them, how much more if the things of God are placed before them, if Your Word is placed before them, the voice of Your prophet in our home placed before them, Lord, the Bible read together at night as a family altar placed before them. Real lived voices in this age lived before them in our homes as parents, Lord. What will that impact them to be, Father? Help us, Lord, to raise up that standard. No matter how many billows blow or how many waves rise, Lord, we're trusting in You to raise a standard against them, Father. We're trusting in You. No matter how many enemies and demons of torment would rise, we're trusting in Your Word that the gates of hell won't prevail over the bride of Jesus Christ in this age. Lord, You said You'd have a church that was without spot or wrinkle. Lord, it's going to take You to do it, but we're depending on Your Word that You'll present us that way. Oh, Father, help us, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. My boat of life sails on troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sails, but I have a friend who's watching over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, aren't you thankful for that tonight? I know the master of the wind. I'm so thankful tonight. Oh, sing it this way tonight. Oh, sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights. Among the peaks our soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm, it may drive me from the heights, but it can bring me low. It won't way to Him again tonight. Oh, sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights. Up above the peaks our soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm, oh, it may drive you from the heights. It can bring you low, but it'll never bring pressures. It's really easy. Oh, I know the Master. He's the one that keeps me standing. He's the one that's holding on, not me. Oh, I know the Maker of the rain. Oh, and I know He can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. I know the Master of the wind. Amen. Help me sing this tonight. He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. Sees every sparrow that falls. That your testimony tonight? Oh, He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, everything of all creatures, great and small. And He knows my name. Every step that I take, oh, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, oh, and He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. Church, I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed, and He knows my name. Every step that I take, oh, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, oh, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day. Oh, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, oh, and He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed. I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, just come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Oh, bread of heaven, Lord, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, Lord, fill it up.
Battle's over.
shall wear a